Egyptian mythos, that name drop, and why Oscar Isaac should win an Emmy. All that and more coming up right now on 15 Minutes of Marvel.
There was an idea.
Because if we can't protect the Earth, you can be damn well sure we'll avenge it.
We can do this all day.
What are they called again?
Anulax batteries.
Harvey Larry batteries.
As far as I'm concerned, that's America's ass.
I control the truth. Mysterio is the truth.
Boom. You looking for this?
What is up, and welcome back to the Moon Knight era of 15 Minutes of Marvel, the only podcast that gives you Marvel reviews, news, and rumors in pretty much 15 minutes. I'm your host, Ethan Simi. Today on the pod, I've got my review of Moon Knight Episode 3. We have done it, we have made it to Episode 3, and we are just entrenched in the Moon Knight era. I couldn't be any happier. We are living it, and it's really my best life. I hope it's all of our best lives. But this is fantastic. We are halfway through the Moon Knight series? Question mark? I don't know. I don't ever know if I should call it a series or a season or a show, because we don't know. I can only hope we're getting a season 2 if it fits, if it's appropriate. But regardless, we are halfway through the slated 6 episodes of Moon Knight that we are going to get. The episode of Moon Knight that truly dives in to the Egyptian lore, the mythos, while fleshing out all of our main characters and make for an action-packed and storytelling-rich episode was Episode 3, and it was today, and it was awesome. I know I said Episode 2 was awesome. I know I said Episode 1 was awesome, but Episode 3, really freaking awesome. I'm going to be honest. It's super-duper honesty time. It was amazing. I thought it was fantastic, and I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to review it. I'm going to give you my thoughts on this episode in hopefully close to 15 minutes. I don't know. We might be pushing 20. I got a lot of thoughts on this episode, but I'm going to keep it within the constraints of 15 minutes of Marvel. As per usual, I'm going to go through the things that I like, the things that maybe I didn't like, the things that were good enough to take notes about, the things that made me even more interested in this show, about the character, the world, and everything surrounding it. And then coming up on the pod this Friday, Liam Crowley of TheDirect.com is going to be here and give us a mid-season review. We're going to be talking about if the show has met our expectations so far, the tone, the action, and where we think the back half of the series is going to take us. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss that one. It is going to be a very enlightening conversation, and I'm excited. I'm excited to hear Liam's thoughts. I can't wait to see how it stacks up, you know, because doing this podcast solo, kind of in my own little bubble here, right? I know what Twitter thinks. I know what people on Twitter generally think of Moon Knight, but when you talk about it on the pod, you get some real thoughts. You get some deep, deep thoughts, and I can't wait for that. So it's going to be a good one. Let's talk about Episode 3. I am a big fan of how this episode opens, both in the cold open with Layla getting a fake passport to go to Egypt, and then you have the juxtaposition of Mark running through rooftops, jumping over buildings, immediately searching for people right out of the gate. You know me. If you've been listening to the pod, you know me. If you don't, I'm here to tell you the slower storytelling in Marvel is what I'm a sucker for. I like that. I like the character development. I like diving into the slower moments, the more personable moments, the more intimate moments of Marvel. So this opening with Layla, where we learn that much more about her background, why she hasn't gone to Cairo for a decade, and about how she deals with her pain of her father dying and all of that surrounding her character, I think is a really smart hook. It worked for me. I'm sure it didn't work for everybody, but it worked for me because I was interested even more about understanding her background and the fact that she's willing to go back to Cairo after 10 years to find Mark speaks pretty heavily about her connection to Mark. And obviously, they are technically married. I get it. But it speaks to her core and her core values about who she is. Then, like I said, you have the juxtaposition. Then you jump right into Mark chasing some guys for some info, beating them up, and diving right into the switches between Mark and Steven. I love the tone setting here. I think it's really well done for the character, especially for the episode where we're going to continually question who deserves our sympathy the most. Is it Mark? Is it Steven? Who should we side with? Who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy? I don't know. It's kind of a gray area, and I think it's working really nicely, and I think that is the point, right? Who is the guy that you identify with the most. It could be either one. So I think it's smart storytelling here. I think it's really smart camera work here too. We get this nice POV kind of camera work with all of them running through the streets. We get this really personable manic experience, right? Mark is manic. He's freaking out. He's chasing these people, and we get this nice point of view shot of him chasing them. So we're right into it. I think that entire kind of opening sequence or two sequences really, I think, is pretty smart. I like that a lot. Moving on. Khonshu. Khonshu played a very large part in this episode, a huge part, you could even say, way bigger of a part than I saw him playing in this episode, even though I didn't know where the episode was going. Right off of the bat, it tells us that Khonshu is going to be a major player here. I'm definitely going to be talking about the ending and what the future of Khonshu could be in the show, so don't go anywhere. I'm going to talk about it. But I find it very intriguing. From the beginning of the episode, we're kind of taught to question Khonshu and his commands, right? We get this very specific moment where he instructs Mark to make one of the guys talk, even though this guy is kind of a kid. He tells him he's going to talk, hold him over this cliff, and Khonshu says he'll talk, and yet this kid says praise Amit, cuts himself loose over the edge of the cliff, plummets Midsommar style, and just goes down at the bottom of the cliff. And Khonshu says, oh, I thought he was going to talk. This is very interesting because not only does it show us that Mark is pretty blindly following Khonshu, as is, you know, expected, he's his avatar, but Khonshu may not be trustworthy. Khonshu may not be the guy, the god that we thought he was. He might not be the Egyptian god that has Mark's best interests in mind. And he may not even be as godly as we thought. We kind of explore this even more when we kind of get this courtroom scene in the middle of the episode. And Khonshu being this ousted god, none of the other gods liked him. Him losing his kind of bearings pretty quickly, I think is all very interesting character building for Khonshu, a character that I personally did not think was going to matter, was I guess, not going to be something that we needed to dive deep into this character and this background. I figured, look, he's a god. That's kind of all we need to know. But I like where this is going. I like that we're getting more of Khonshu. And I think it's a really important role, obviously, in determining who Mark is, who Steven is, and how he operates. But I think it's good for us as well to understand Khonshu on a deeper level. So I like that. I thought that was a pretty impressive way to kind of start this Khonshu storyline, where we haven't really questioned a lot of things that Khonshu has said yet, and we haven't explored him personally. We started to do that here. Like I said, we've got the meeting of the gods, kind of this courtroom setting where all of these avatars come together. The gods talk through their avatars, take over these avatars, which was pretty cool. I liked a lot of the kind of the VFX. I liked a lot of the little moments here and there. I thought it was pretty cool. I'm a big fan of this moment. This is what I've been waiting for from this show. It's building a mythos. It's creating a world and a tone that is truly unique to it, to its characters, to its lore. This is where I feel like the show shines, diving deep into the lore of the Egyptian gods, giving us more rounded story about Khonshu, seeing Oscar Isaac put up his Emmy nomination performance. I mean, it's the whole package right here. Oscar Isaac is incredible in this moment, and anybody who says he's not, I'd a little sus. I'd question him. I'd ask them to speak and give you a little more detail on why they think he's not up to snuff for an Emmy nom right here, because this is good stuff. His ability to switch between Mark and Khonshu, really personified here. I mean, we see it in the entire episode. His ability to switch between Mark and Steven, really, on the drop of a dime, the drop of a hairpin. Is that how that goes? Hairpin, dime, the drop of a something. He makes it happen like a snap. And you like that? The snap? I had to go the snap route. That was good. That was good stuff. That was funny. Khonshu speaks with such power here and such vigor. And then he switches to Mark, not knowing what is he saying? What is he doing? And then right back, snip, snap, snip, snap, Michael Scott style. I think is really impressive work. I don't know I don't know. I mean, obviously, I could never do it, but I don't know what it takes to do something like this and execute it just so damn well. And then we see here that Khonshu's true nature is exposed, that he himself, as the god, is actually unwell, which is why he chose an avatar that is unwell also. They share this ability to get lost in their mental state and not be their best selves or their true selves. And Khonshu loses his temper with Arthur Harrow as Harrow is simply just speaking to him, right? We see Arthur Harrow here essentially saying, I was just hanging out in the sand in the desert. I was just chilling. And Khonshu loses it and really freaks out, loses his bearings pretty quickly and gets set off. I thought this scene in particular was pivotal for the series as a whole in the fact that it brought us to this strange and deep god level of Moon Knight, right? We haven't had this in the MCU yet. We haven't had this kind of Egyptian, you know, specifically Egyptian, but we haven't really had this type of a deep invested lore that we're getting to explore over 6 hours, six episodes, mind you, not a 2 or 2.5 hour movie shared with lots of other characters, but we're getting 6 hours to explore this. It gave us more character insight, and it not only put Mark against Harrow, which is what we've had so far, but it put Khonshu himself against Arthur Harrow. So all very good things here. Kind of did a lot for character development, for storytelling, really kind of pulling together this full circle of really three characters. You know, it's more, but it's really these three characters in Mark, Arthur Harrow, and Khonshu, and how they're all interconnected. I'm going to bring this up here in a couple minutes as well. Very important, I think, for this episode, and I think it's doing it quite well. Then we have really what feels like the third act of the episode, and we meet Anton and seeing his collection, and we're going for this sarcophagus here. And I will say, my one little tiny gripe with the show so far, we have a lot of MacGuffins, we have a lot of let's do this so then we can go here and then find this and then solve that. I get it. We need to go places. This is the point of the show. We're exploring ancient Egyptian lore, artifacts, and this is who our characters are. So it checks out. It does make sense. But at times, I was like, oh, we're going somewhere else. Now we're going to look for someone else. You all know how I felt about this kind of the scarab a little bit is kind of that where it's like, oh, we were really focused on the scarab. It's a little tiny little gripe. It's not that big of a deal. I think it's totally fine. I do want to say RIP to Gaspard Ulliel, who sadly passed away before this show was released and plays Anton here. I thought he was great in this episode. I thought he was quite good. Interestingly enough, about his character, IMDb says that he's in 4 episodes. And this is the first time we've seen him. So that would mean that he's in every episode from now until then. But I thought he got shot. So I don't know. Maybe I saw that wrong. Let me know if he's definitely still alive. Get at me on Twitter at 15MinuteMarvel. But I think that's interesting. So we'll see if he shows back up. A couple things here about the third act. He knows Layla from Madripoor. Yeah. From Madripoor, the M word, and one of his guards says, after Madripoor, I'm sure you two have a lot to talk about, referring to Layla and Anton. And then it gets brought up later, something about trust, Layla and Anton, and trust between them. Somehow Layla lost his trust. I need to know the background here, and I don't see them bringing it up in episode 3, only for them to gloss over it in the remainder of the season. We're already building Layla's character quite a bit. We're really fleshing her out, especially with this introduction to the passport thing. So we're diving more into this character. I love the name drop. I love what it could set up. Having a connected universe fucking rocks. And this is why, because then we can just drop in Madripoor and everybody can just lose their shit and be like, Madripoor, it's good stuff. I like it a lot. The third act, Moon Knight comes out. Bites all these guys, stops Anton from essentially listening to Harrow. I thought it was a really fun third act. We got a lot of good action. We get the cape in the shape of a crescent moon. We get him firing bullets back at people after his cape stopped them. He's stabbed like a ton of times with poles, only for him to pull them out and survive. Lots of cool stuff. I thought it looked really well done. So yeah, I was a fan. I thought it played really, really well. Couple things to note here of this kind of big action sequence. His mask drops when he yells for Layla. It's a wonderful, wonderful, well thought out little moment about kind of his core attachments that even when he is fully dedicated to this Moon Knight character, this Moon Knight avatar, he cares deeply for Layla so much as to take off his mask. And the on and off of the mask, I thought it looked really good. I mean, that Moon Knight outfit is just sick. It's just freaking awesome. The chill the F out moment from Mr. Knight was awesome, was incredible. It's really hilarious. And a moment really showing Mr. Knight's true side, which opposes Moon Knight's proper, you know, Moon Knight proper, his side so well, because Moon Knight is so exceptionally serious and focused and determined. And then you have Mr. Knight, who kind of has this comedic background to him. So I thought the play between these two sides of the character done very, very well. Another brief character moment that I really liked, pretty damning, pretty heartbreaking, if I will say so myself. Mark saying to Layla that she has never known him, right? He says, "You haven't known me at all, you don't." Meaning it's all an act. There's always a deeper layer. And just when Layla thinks she's going to go close to him, bam, the abyss of Steven and Mark grows even bigger. I like this episode so much for its character building. And then the final moment of this episode here, Mr. Knight and Khonshu turning the sky back 2,000 years so they can find a constellation that will lead them to the exact space that Amit is buried. Sounds absurd when I say it, when it comes out of my mouth, but it was awesome. It was incredible. It was beautiful. It was really well done, really well shot. And I am so interested because Khonshu makes this decision to turn back the sky, knowing very well that he is going to be turned to stone by the other gods. He even tells Steven, "Hey, tell Mark to free me once I am imprisoned." So I'm curious here. It kind of adds, again, this other layer to Khonshu of what are his motives? What does he care about? Where does his selfishness turn into selflessness? And where is that cross, that threshold for him? I thought the ability to integrate Steven as part of this entire episode, and especially kind of at the end here, to be able to solve puzzles while Mark can't solve the puzzles, I thought was really cool. And seeing that distinction between Mark and Steven as a benefit and not as a barrier that it has been for the first two episodes, I thought it was a good shift. I thought it was smart. I thought it makes the relationship even more interesting between Mark and Steven, and we're slowly understanding he might have this ability to switch at will. So I think that's very cool. Khonshu is imprisoned in stone now. Arthur Harrow tells him, "You made me this way." He says, your pain that you inflicted on me formed me. And I love this ending to the episode. It all harkens back. It all stems back to Khonshu and his selfish actions that are actually making his life harder, and it's making his life tougher and has now gotten him imprisoned. And the main reason I love this moment is because, again, it gives us a full circle moment connecting Khonshu, Harrow, and Mark. They are all interconnected in different but deep and ingrained ways, interconnected in ways that produce two very distinct and very different avatars in Mark Spector and Arthur Harrow. And I am so intrigued to see where this character growth, development, backstory, where it all goes in the back half of the episodes here, of the six episodes. We've got three to go, and I love that things are ramping up. It feels like the pace is getting a little bit more intense. It feels like the tension is growing a little bit more. Things are becoming a little bit more personable and just a little more high risk. I really like that. Two very small things that I loved before we get out of here. Every time that we see Arthur Harrow walk, we hear glass in his shoes, reminding us just how committed not only Ethan Hawke is to portraying this character and the backstory of this character. I know he's not walking on real glass, but he came up with this. That was his idea, his backstory for this character. So that's genius. But how committed Arthur Harrow actually is to his ideals. He's constantly walking on the glass. And then when Layla first shows up in Cairo, while Mark is getting juice at the street market, this was very fun to me. And probably nobody else noticed it. Probably nobody else cared. It was like 1 second. But we get this camera zoom. from the balcony. We're far away. We get this really nice handheld camera zoom that gave off these major Adam McKay vibes, big Hank Corwin vibes. Hank Corwin is the film editor for Adam McKay, edits a lot of his projects, and I thought it was very unique, very fun, very much in their style of kind of this zoom, this movable focal point here. So I thought that was awesome. Lots of very good things about episode 3. I loved it. I thought it played very well. I keep wanting more of the deep character growth. I want that to take precedence. So I am worried about the back half here, and I'm worried we might stray too far into the action side of things, but I am hopeful, and I'm living in the Moon Knight era, and we are all in this together because Moon Knight fucking rules. It is awesome. And that's all I've got to say about that. What did you think of episode 3 of Moon Knight? Let me know on Twitter at 15 Minute Marvel. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any major podcast platform. A huge special shout out to the patrons of the show: Brandon Clark, Hajir Shakib, Reagan Knopp, Alan Cole Peacock, Ben Lawhorn, Corelli Christina, Mike Zago, TJ Zwart, and Jessica. Thank you all so much. I will see you back here next time. I'm Ethan Simi, and remember, always go higher, further, and faster.